We're all going on a winter holiday, gin and tonic and laprisky. Goodbye Parliament and goodbye Downing Street. Goodbye tabloids and BBC. Laprisky for me. I'm going where the snow falls brightly. I'm going where the skiing is free. I don't even know who's paying, but it's certainly not me.
Good morning, Prime Minister.
In the End, by Mark Tavener, starring Michael Williams, Barry Foster, and Jonathan Coy.
The Prime Minister has dismissed criticism of his winter skiing holiday, which is apparently being funded by the Italian taxpayers. A Downing Street spokesman said this was not an example of Labour sleaze. The next chairman of the Arts Council is to be Jim Davidson. The police superintendent heading the hunt for the so-called journalist killer has denied accepting a free lunch at one of London's top restaurants.
I wish to make it clear that I was at the restaurant Coco St. Martin, pursuant to police inquiries.
Oh, pursuant.
And I neither ate nor drank at the restaurant.
Pursuant.
I was neither wasting taxpayers' money nor valuable police time. I was simply doing my job as a serving officer of the Metropolitan Force.
You were right the first time, Frank.
I strongly resent the insinuation by certain newspapers that the police are dragging their feet in the hunt for a serial killer simply because the victims are journalists. That is untrue, and a lot of malicious tittle-tattle from a bunch of journalist gits.
Thank you, Superintendent. We will briefly take questions.
George Grant, BBC. Superintendent, isn't it a fact that police corruption and incompetence are now so rife that the allegations are completely understandable?
That is outrageous. You know as well as I do how hard I work.
Well, can you tell us what you actually are doing to catch this killer? Apart from eating dinner at 100 quid a time.
We already have a number of key suspects. We are following a variety of leads.
If you were at the restaurant as part of your inquiries, does that mean that Coco St. Martin is a suspect?
I can't comment on that at this particular time.
Superintendent, despite your denials, isn't it in fact true that the police are not under the usual pressure precisely because of who the victims are in this case?
I can assure you that as far as we are concerned, murder is murder. Even when the victims are journalists.
Good morning, and welcome to Yesterday in Parliament. Yesterday, the Commons spent much of its time talking about fish quotas. Oh, dear, dreadful stuff. You don't want to hear a lot of tosh about fish quotas, do you? So here instead, by popular demand, is one of our occasional series of high spots from the speeches of Tony Benn.
On Radio 4. Now, the speech I've chosen is...
You know, it's a charter requirement that we broadcast an impartial account of the proceedings in Parliament.
Is Max a charter requirement?
Man's impossible.
But Yesterday in Parliament's a hit show.
Not with MPs, it isn't. Anyway, your annual report. It's very good, Maria. You've done very well.
Thank you.
All the senior duty editors say so. Keen, enthusiastic, anxious to learn. The only criticism is... where is it? Oh, yes. She's a strong-minded individual who needs to remember the importance of corporate team effort.
Oh, right.
Maria, what would you say was your overall personal career objective?
I don't want to be excessively strong-minded.
Your annual assessment is a private conversation. You can be as candid as you like.
Well, in that case, what the bloody hell are you talking about?
Yes, you are candid, aren't you? Well, what I'm saying is, what do you want to do?
I want to be a crime reporter.
Good Lord. Not like the one we've got, I hope.
George Craig is the reason I came into the BBC.
Really? Well, I suppose we'll need a new crime correspondent one day. Even George Craig can't last forever.
It's all right, Frank. Oh, it's a black eye between friends. I was just a bit hurt that you thought I planted the story with the tabloids.
I should have had more faith, mate.
Not a bad bit of haddock, that.
Yeah. I'd rather have that than all your 100 quid risotto at Coco St. Bloody Martin.
Frank, I know you're dying to tell me something. Well, come on, then. Say we won the lottery. Say Coco St. Martin has a record as long as your arm.
Assault. Assault with a dangerous weapon.
Uh-huh.
ABHO. And a couple of criminal damages.
You're kidding.
That's his sheet.
Ah, this is too good to be true. And we know how much he hates journalists.
This doesn't prove he's a murderer, George.
No, it puts him in the frame, though. Mind you, when you think this murderer keeps sending me bits of poetry. Does Coco strike you as the poetical type?
Here, let's have a look at that note again. When in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes. All these have been addressed to you personally.
But the previous ones have been after the killings. This one's before the murder. Look, I'd better go and do a piece. Let's see if we meet in that pub near the yard.
Madam Speaker, we all know the Chancellor's reputation as a man of the utmost probity. But does he therefore share my surprise that the Prime Minister's winter holiday is being paid for by public money, even if it is Italian public money?
The Prime Minister's holiday arrangements are not a matter for me.
Himself taking a winter holiday?
I will be taking a short break, yes, which I am financing myself. But that is no criticism of my friend and colleague, the Prime Minister.
PM in free ski shock. PM says spag balls to the Italian people.
Kelly, the financial arrangements of your holiday are not my responsibility.
The media relations of this government are. Travels all round, Luigi. Sleaze is falling, sleaze on sleaze.
That's rather good.
Marcia!
Kenny, if you remember, I suggested you took your winter holiday in Wales.
Oh, and a bold and imaginative suggestion it was.
Party morale is very low in Wales.
What about my morale? That's the point of this holiday, isn't it?
The security officers have cleared the plane, PM. They're ready for you.
Look, go on, enjoy your holiday, forget about everything.
Keep your eye on the Chancellor, Marcia.
Just leave everything to me. Come on, off you go.
Yes, yes, I suppose you're right.
Later on Radio 4, there's a new series in which John Humphreys takes a sideways look at people who've gone sideways. In the first programme, he talks to James Chatwin, whose life was not turned upside down when he moved from sales manager, burgers and nuggets, to head of peas and pulses. John Humphreys is going nowhere tonight on Radio 4.
I can't wait. Come in.
Good morning, Chairman.
Penny, can you just take that pending tray away and throw it somewhere? I can hardly launch my crusade against BBC bureaucracy when I'm drowning in paperwork. Today is my official declaration of war on superfluous administrators.
Yes, the corporate liaison officer, broadcast and production would like an urgent word.
Oh, for pity's sake.
Would you like to come in?
Good morning, Chairman. Chairman, a rather ticklish problem has arisen. A freelance producer has just been found guilty of faking a series of documentaries for ITV.
Has he, by Jove? Hmm. For ITV, you say?
Yes, Chairman.
Well, we at the BBC are not ones to gloat. We do not take pleasure in the discomfiture of our rivals. ITV, you say?
Hmm. Yeah, you see, the thing is...
Sherry?
Yeah, perhaps, just a small one. We are sadly in no position to gloat. Unfortunately, we have commissioned a series of 6 documentaries from the same producer.
Well, obviously we mustn't broadcast them.
We broadcast the 4th one on BBC Two last night.
Ah.
Now, I see this as an essentially presentational problem.
Presentational?
Mm.
The BBC has spent a considerable sum of licence payers' money buying 6 programmes from a crook.
The word crook has such unfortunate overtones.
Well, what were these documentaries about?
The standards in the media, Chairman.
What?
The producer claimed to be interviewing people who'd been paid by certain newspapers to tell lies about public personalities, but they hadn't.
Let me get this straight. We broadcast interviews with people who said journalists had bribed them to tell lies, but they were lying about that.
Hmm.
Why?
Because they'd been bribed, Chairman.
So this criminal lunatic of a producer bribed people to tell lies about how they'd been bribed to tell lies, and all the time they were lying?
That's the truth.
But good God, we'll be sued.
Oh, unquestionably. The Mail, the Mirror.
Well, so think of the Broadcasting Standards Council.
Indeed.
The questions in the House of Commons. Damn it, there'll be demands for resignations.
I fear there will.
I wish I were
back in Ireland. Except when I'm in Ireland, I wish I were somewhere else.
Caterwauling git.
The Fish and the Lawnmower is an Irish theme pub, Frank.
Yes.
Guinness and your whiskey, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Let's find a table.
Oh, Carrick Fergus.
Cheers.
Oh, Tipperary.
It gets better, George.
My darling.
The last victim, Henry Sligo. Remember how he was chopped up after he'd been murdered?
Mm. Don't remind me.
Well, the cleaver. The cleaver belonged to Coco St. Martin.
How the hell do you know that?
Because we found it.
What?
Yeah. If they weren't so daft, we'd never catch it.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Well, he dumped it in a dustbin in the middle of London. It was one of a set presented to him for him getting his, three Michelin stars.
Yeah, that makes it all too easy, Craig. I like a bit more of a puzzle. Still, I suppose you'd be picking him up then.
What, for questioning? Definitely.
It's time for a quick one?
Yeah. Oh, George?
Yeah?
What the hell is a Kilkenny quarter pounder?
Well, in conclusion, I can only say that this is regrettable. Do my fellow governors have any views?
Chairman, this programme sought to occupy the journalistic high ground and has ended with the BBC in the mire both ethically and editorially.
Oh, absolutely. You couldn't run that past me again, could you, old boy?
What Peter is saying is that the series basically said that the BBC is above reproach.
And the papers are having a field day. Chairman, we live in an age of evasion, excuses and pervasive failure to accept blame.
Hear, hear.
We, as the governors of the BBC, have a unique responsibility to the nation.
Do carry on, old boy.
With great regret, I formally propose that we, the governors, resign en bloc.
En bloc? What, all of us?
As chairman, you have a particular duty to set an example.
But I like being chairman.
Oh, that is hardly the point.
Well, couldn't we at least think about it over lunch?
Does lunch matter at a time like this?
What a damn silly question. Penny, book me a table for lunch at Coco San Martin.
Yes, Chairman.
Oh, and see if Charles Prentice is free for lunch, would you?
Mm-hmm.
What one needs in a situation like this is the wise, measured counsel of an absolute and utter swine.
Resign? Preposterous.
Exactly. Ludicrous.
Resign? Absurd suggestion. Simply because a known charlatan has been given hundreds of thousands of pounds, all of it licensed payers' money, to make 6 hours of pervasively dishonest television, thereby devaluing the very name of the BBC? Resign? Nonsense.
Just what I said. Could we have some more cognac, please?
At once, monsieur.
Of course. Someone will have to resign.
Ah. Will they?
The press will demand blood? Well, all right. Give them some. Chuck them a head of department, deputy head, and make clear that this is your decisive executive action.
Ah, the cognac.
Have them escorted from the building by security.
Charles, that's not very nice. Usually when I have to sack a chap, I do it over poached eggs and carriages.
Niceness is not the issue, Geoffrey. Look at Margaret Thatcher.
Why would I do that?
Because that was leadership. It's not important to command affection, provided you compel respect.
Well, I do like people to like me.
A weakness, Geoffrey.
I suppose you're right, as always.
Geoffrey, I look for no thanks for my small contribution to our corporate survival.
Oh, my dear fellow. Another cognac?
Later, perhaps. You're a man of clear, firm, strategic vision.
Yes. Am I?
And your vision is that of a BBC trimmed of its excess managers, its surplus bureaucratic fat.
Yeah, well, that's true. But it's so difficult, Charles. Surplus managers are everywhere. One doesn't know where to begin.
That is because you have begun the operation without appointing the surgeon.
Won't keep you, George.
All right, mate.
Beth, do me a piece on this, will you? Mm-hmm. The chairman of the BBC has stepped up his campaign to cut BBC bureaucracy by sacking 100 managers. Lord Crichton Potter warned this was only the beginning.
Okay.
You're still here, then.
And what is known as a working manager, George, they do exist. Listen, I sent you an email.
How about Maria?
What do you think? I mean, all I'm suggesting is that for the odd afternoon, she shadows you, finds out what being a crime correspondent's all about.
It'll cramp my style, Richard.
To be honest, when I'm doing a murder story, I don't want some starstruck kid traipsing around behind me.
I think you'll find Maria is a very professional and ambitious young woman.
All right, I've got to.
Yes, Maria, you've got to. The other thing you've got to do is get me a story. Sacking BBC managers is hardly a front-page lead, is it?
I'll have something for you by the end of the day. That's a promise.
George, the latest crime figures from the Home Office. George, can I be of any help on the journalist murders?
Well, not really. That's a lead story. It needs a senior man.
Oh, right. A senior man.
If I'm wanted, I'm at Scotland Yard. The police have detained a suspect.
What?
Don't get excited, Richard. Felix Frank of the Yard has arrested the wrong man. As usual.
I am showing Mr. St. Martin, Exhibit 1. A cleaver for chopping meat. Do you identify this?
I've already told you. Yes, it is mine. It was stolen a fortnight ago.
Did you report it stolen, sir?
No.
Why not, sir?
Look, there's a lot of jealousy in this business. I thought another chef had done it. I thought I'd sort it out my own way.
You've got rather a record for violence, haven't you, sir?
The temperament of a great chef cannot live by the rules that govern the talentless and the mediocre.
No. Wouldn't fancy trying that one on a judge, mind you. Still, I do know what you mean. I mean, take my brother, for instance. Now, my brother runs a chip shop in Plaster.
Superintendent, sod your brother. I've got a restaurant to run. I don't have to sit here.
Yes, you do, sir.
Hello, Frank.
George, this is a police interview.
You're looking a bit flustered, Mr. St. Martin. Don't tell me it was the chip shop in Plaster. See, this is how Frank gets his convictions. He irritates people into confessing. I should cooperate if I were you. Otherwise, you'll get the one about the soft cod rose and the manager of Leighton Orient. That one takes hours. Mind if I sit in, Frank?
George, I'm interviewing a suspect.
Yeah, I bet you're not getting anywhere, though. Let me have a go. Mr. St. Martin, actually, do you mind if I call you Coke?
Yes, I bloody well do.
Well, no mind. Coke, Sunbeam. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? No? Well, what about let me not to the manager of True Minds admit impediments? Still nothing?
Get me a bloody solicitor now.
I don't think I know that one. Don't hang about. Come friendly bombs and fall on Slough. Get me a bloody solicitor now. That's the one.
George, can I get on?
You're interviewing the wrong man, Frank. This man hasn't got an ounce of poetry in his soul.
He's got traces of blood on his cleaver.
The judge, he just wouldn't believe her. She had traces of blood on her cleaver.
Oh, sorry, Gov. I think you'd better come. There's been another one.
BBC Radio 4. The news at 3 o'clock. Another journalist has been found dead in central London. Our crime correspondent, George Cragg, is at the scene.
The editor of the fortnightly satirical magazine, Private Eye, has been found shot dead here at the paper's offices in Soho, central London. Indications, which the police are not prepared to make public, suggest that this is the third victim of the so-called journalist killer. Superintendent Jefferson of Scotland Yard is heading the investigation. Superintendent, what can you tell us?
The victim was 43 years old. He appears to have been alone in the magazine's offices at the time of the killing. Early indications are he was shot at point-blank range. Now, we're very anxious to hear from anyone who was in the Soho area in the early part of this afternoon and who saw something, anything that might help us in our inquiries.
This is George Cragg for BBC News. Now back to the studio. I should have guessed, Frank. When in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes.
Oh, don't blame yourself, George.
And all that time where you were messing about with Mr. Pastry. I suppose this lets him off the hook.
No, not necessarily.
Hmm?
We picked him up at 2:15. Now, the pathologist puts the time of death anywhere between 1:30 and 2:30. So there's still time for him to have done it. Now, my nose says he's our man, George.
Marcia, I really cannot see what all the fuss is about. I'm concerned that the economy may be overheating, and I ask the people to moderate their wage demands. That's my job.
And how is the demand for wage restraint going to go down when there are pictures of the PM whooping it up on holiday?
It's an unfortunate coincidence, perhaps.
Oh, that's what it is. Seen that, have you?
I have a department to run, Marcia. I do not have time to read the Daily Mirror.
Oh, come off it. You've got 20 people in the Treasury, all of them called Ed, who do nothing but read the Mirror.
Marcia, really? All right, let's have a look. where pissed-off Prime Minister, the PM, emerged briefly from his luxury chalet today to shout abuse at waiting reporters. Meanwhile, the rest of us are asked to go easy on our wage demands, and we thought the Tories were a scandal. Well, this is deplorable, Marcia, absolutely deplorable, and still, you know, we mustn't bother ourselves with tabloid nonsense.
I know exactly what you're doing.
What I'm doing is running a major department of state, rather well, actually. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a major announcement to make to the Commons.
Honestly, Charles, talk about consulting with the enemy. This is the man who wants to slash BBC bureaucracy.
Exactly, Martin.
What do you mean, exactly? This is the Mad Axe Man of Broadcasting House, the man who wants to chop down the dead wood. I've spent decades learning to be a piece of dead wood, floating comfortably but unobtrusively in a sea of BBC paperwork.
Pleasingly poetical, Martin. Martin, if you were seeking to reduce BBC bureaucracy, what would you need?
A brutal disregard for the sensitivities of loyal servants?
Yes, of course. But first of all, you'd need a department. A special unit charged with reducing red tape.
Well, what of it?
You are now looking at the head of that unit.
What?
The chairman and I, over a particularly civilized lunch, have concluded a deal. In return for extricating him from his immediate difficulties, I am to be his anti-red tape supremo. Naturally, I made it a condition that I should have a deputy supremo.
Ah, I see.
Exactly.
Who paid for the champagne, Prime Minister?
Have you got a message for the people back home?
Look, I'm on holiday, so why don't you all bugger off?
The Prime Minister. The Chancellor of the Exchequer said today that Christmas is not a time for self-indulgence. Speaking in the Commons, he said Labour's prudent management of the economy enabled him to announce a special bonus to the least well-off members of society. That, said the Chancellor, was the true spirit of Christmas.
Get me a plane ticket. Now, this minute.
Oh, of course. Where are you going?
The Alps. I think somebody's in need of a rescue.
I am supposed to be shadowing you, George.
Oh, yeah. Look, phone the Home Office. Ask if they've got anything useful to say about the rise in violent crime. They won't have.
Well, it's better than nothing, I suppose.
Listen to this. BBC chiefs are facing mounting criticism over the apparent army of disgraced ex-ministers the corporation is employing as broadcasters. A positive galaxy of former political stars who fell from grace because of sex, money, or in one case, eggs, have fallen on their feet. And the licence payer's feet as well.
What shall I do after that?
Oh, keen little thing, aren't you? There isn't a vacancy for crime correspondent just yet, young lady. Yeah, listen. Some of these scandalmongers turned chat show hosts are said to have quadrupled their ministerial salaries courtesy of the BBC.
What's that you're reading?
It's the latest issue of Private Eye. Maria, I'll tell you what you can do. This BBC programme there's been all the fuss about. Get me a tape of it, would you?
What's that got to do with the murder story?
Just do as you're told, all right?
The Prime Minister has always had my full support, and that remains the position.
Oh, come on. What do you really think about this foreign skiing junket? You don't approve of it, do you?
You will not succeed in driving a wedge between me and my friend and colleague, the Prime Minister.
You'd still like his job, though, wouldn't
you? Now, look,
Chancellor, I know how much you'd love to answer that question, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to interrupt you. We're getting reports that the Prime Minister may have been injured.
Oh, how badly? I mean, how badly has the Prime Minister been injured?
Well, let's go live to our reporter at the scene. Joe Roberts, what's been happening?
Well, we understand the Prime Minister has suffered a broken leg sustained while rescuing a fellow skier who had got into difficulties. People here are saying the PM literally saved this man's life. I have with me the PM's skiing instructor, Giuseppe Valiano, and you saw what happened.
The courage of your Prime Minister is incredible. He have no thought for himself. Oh, that my country had such a Prime Minister.
Thank you.
Well, there we are, Chancellor. Even on holiday, the PM has been courageous, decisive and heroic. What's your reaction?
Those are the qualities we've come to respect in our great Prime Minister.
Thank you, Chancellor.
The first essential is that a department to reduce BBC bureaucracy should carry clout.
Yeah, carrying clout will, of course, entail a very sizeable department with a very sizeable budget.
My thinking is exactly.
Attracting the intellectual cream of the BBC.
Risky, Martin. The intellectual cream has a habit of producing radical ideas. Dangerous ideas. No, no, no. Our department will not be a lair of intellectual cream. It will be more a family-sized tub of quick-save yogurt.
Mid-managerial, mediocre, mental marzipan.
Preference will be given to candidates whose BBC careers show no evidence of achieving anything.
Well, that shouldn't be difficult. You know, Charles, I do think the department to reduce BBC bureaucracy is somehow bureaucratic. We need a name.
A name, yes, yes, an acronym. An acronym. Let's see what we can come up with. Something like...
More coffee, monsieur?
Yes, thank you.
I think I've got it. Mm-hmm. Special control for reducing unnecessary bureaucracy and bringing efficiency reforms.
Scrubbers.
Don't you like it?
BBC governors to hold regular talks with scrubbers.
Oh, well, what about interdepartmental efficiency and savings? Ideas.
Too abstract. Something more earthy, more physical.
Central unit...
Martin.
All right. Aims for reducing surplus expenditure.
Are those new mud crutches, Prime Minister?
Thank you. I'd like to thank you for all your kind messages. I would particularly like to thank my friend and colleague, the Chancellor, for minding the shop. I have, of course, come home to be treated by our new modern health service. Then I'll be back to work. Thank you.
Marcel, was the broken leg absolutely necessary?
In the interests of verisimilitude, yes. The photographers loved it.
Bloody hurts.
Well, if it isn't hurting, it isn't working.
Yes, thank you, Marcia.
There must be something I can do.
All right, in a minute. Have a look at this.
Private Eye is a despicable publication. A publication that has sent children crying to school because of what it alleged about their parents. Scurrilous and worthless.
Who's that, then?
Rupert Thresher, disgraced ex-minister, resigned after a sex scandal, now works for the BBC.
Very good. You miss one thing, though. He is also the journalist's killer.
In the End was written by Mark Taverner and starred Michael Williams, Barry Foster, Jonathan Coy, Stephen Fry, John Bird, Anton Rogers, Rebecca Front and Jessica Oyelowo. And also featured Simon Greenall, Phil Cornwell, Michael Fenton-Stevens, Peter Woodthorpe, Hugh Parker, Chris Pavlo, Martin Hyder, Beth Chalmers, Andrew Crawford and Harriet Cass. The music was composed by Paul Mottram. The executive producer was Paul Schlesinger. In the End was produced by Dawn Ellis.